praying for just a few moments, really, and I as you see, I'm just going to share my heart. We're going to be in the book of John. And I have been camping in John 13, 14, 15, and 16, probably for a year or more. I read other parts of the scripture, but I've just been camping in these verses because it's the only place in the Gospels where you get the backstage pass to what's going on in the life of Jesus and his disciples. It's such an intimacy of teaching. And what I've discovered reading 13, 14, 15, and 16, and we'll touch on 17 in a moment. What I've discovered is that Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's going to die on the cross. He's going to go away to heaven. And he's telling his disciples, he's trying to prepare them for his departure. And what you see is Jesus is talking to him about his departure. He begins to emphasize some things over and over again because as soon as Jesus said, I'm going away, the disciples stopped listening. And you find that in our lives. When someone gives you a word of change or something's difficult, we have a tendency to stop listening at the point and start looking at, well, what does that mean? What does that mean for me? What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't get it. And so you see Jesus emphasizing over and over again a few things. One of them is prayer. One of them is the way in which we love each other. Another one is that the security of the Father. Another one is the working of the Holy Spirit. Another one is this preferred future. Jesus, as you read John 13 through 16, you see him saying the same thing over and over and over again. So in John 13, he starts with this, a new commandment I give you, as I've loved you, love each other. By this, say those two words with me, by this, the world will know that you're my followers, you're my disciples. And Peter responds by saying, where are you going? I want to go. You can't go. I'll even die for you. And then Jesus has to say, really, Peter? And then Jesus in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And James says, well, we don't even know where you're going. How can we get there? And John 15, it's again, they're stuck on this one thing. He's leaving and they can't go. So what Jesus in his brilliance does is he emphasizes things over and over and over again to let the weightiness of what he says fill their hearts with a future hope. Everybody okay? Okay. In John 15, we'll launch from there. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, verse 7, reading from the nearly inspired version, NIV. I'm sorry. Even the baby was like, seriously? Really? Thank you. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So Jesus, how do we remain in your love? How do we abide? How do we stay present in your love? How does it go from maybe a day or one day a week to 2 days to 5 days to seven, that we are staying in this posture, in this place of love? He tells us, he says, if, there's the clause, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete, mature, fulfilled. He says, my command is this, love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends, here's the clause, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. So Jesus in John 14, he says these words. I tell you the truth. In the Greek, it's amen. Amen. When amen is spoken at the first of a sentence, it means I tell you the truth. When it's spoken at the end of the service of a sentence, it means let it be done. So when we close by saying yes and amen, what we're saying is yes, let it be done. But this word amen is at the front of a sentence. So it's Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you the truth. And it's a double emphasis. Amen, amen. I tell you the truth, I tell you the truth. Whoever has faith in me will be doing what I have been doing. Greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. He then goes on to say, and you may ask me anything in my name and I will do it that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Jesus is teaching his disciples, I'm out, I'm checking out, I'm going to heaven, and now he's releasing the kingdom of God onto his friends, disciples. And for us to be a follower of Christ, one of the emphases we have got to really grasp is that the Father, when you talk to the Father in the name of Jesus, he is listening, but not only is he listening, he's saying yes to your prayer. And I can see it already in your eyes because it's the same look I've had in my eyes before. Well, I've prayed before and nothing happened. How many's ever gone through that? And we're not talking like, can I get a new Cadillac? I'm talking really life situations where you prayed your brains out and it just went, and nothing really happened according to your prayer. For $19.95, you can buy my book, Why Prayers Are Not Answered. I'm joking. I don't have an answer. But if you want to give me $19.95, that'll be fine too. Jesus' teaching on prayer in 13, 14, 15, and 16 is crucial to understand that he doesn't play with us. He tells us the truth. That first of all, we have to have faith in him, John 14. John 15, if his word abides in me and I abide in him, I can ask what you wish. And here's the thing I want to emphasize today. My command is to love each other. That in this process of confidence and prayer, it's not just Jesus and I, it's Jesus and us. I've been in church, I've been a leader for over 30 years in the church, and I think I can say this with great confidence. In the American church, in the Western culture church, we have turned a personal relationship with Jesus into a private relationship with Jesus. What do I mean by that? A personal relationship, I have to accept Jesus. No one can accept Jesus' forgiveness for me. This is he and I. A private relationship goes like this. I will worship God the way I want to worship God. I will follow him the way I want to follow him. In fact, when we first moved to our little town of Lewiston, they had this local Christian television show, and they were doing a raise-a-thon or something. And I only heard this part of the song, but it so captures the heart, especially where we come from, where this guy sings this song. He goes, me and Jesus, we got a good thing going. I don't need no preacher man telling me what to do. I don't need no church telling me what to do because me and Jesus, we got a good thing going. I clicked off because that is so not scriptural. Because when Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. He's not saying I didn't choose you individually. He says, I chose you in a southern drawl. I chose y'all. That when we understand prayer, the confidence, Jesus ties in. One of the main aspects of prayer is that it's just not us praying, it's we praying. And how does that work? That works by us being in a loving relationship with each other. Now, my premise, one of the convictions I have is that your relationship with Jesus is best evidenced by the way in which you love other people. That if you really want to know your walk with Christ, did you take a picture of me? Wait a sec. Wait, hold on. Get rid of the double chin. That's where I grow a beard. You don't have to see it. Always up. Always up. That our relationship with Jesus is best expressed here. So if you have a problem with a person, that person is not the problem. It is a need for a greater love relationship with the Father so that you can love them as he loves you. Jesus, even in Matthew 6, talks about loving your enemies and speaking well of them. See, the issue is not them. The issue is, Father, you need to create a greater capacity for me to love the way that you love me. And I believe today that we are indeed loving people as we're being loved. To the degree we understand the identity and the love that God has for us will be the degree in which we will love people. Y'all okay? And it's been going on for a while. There's this movement, especially where we come from. We live in this very independent, take care of yourself place. And there is so much of this where you serve God your way, I'll serve God my way, and we're not going to come together. That is not Bible. It's not what Jesus called us to. Jesus called us to love each other. And one of the evidences of answered prayer will not take place without y'all. So if you read, just read the Gospels and read through the New Testament. What you see is this over and over again. In Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, you see this. Paul would write, here's all that God has done for you. It's an amazing work he has done of grace. All that he sacrificed for you. And then he gives a therefore. Because of that, we have a responsibility to live out. Once we understand identity, we have a responsibility to live that out with each other. So Ephesians chapter 4, 1, 2, and 3, brilliant. It's brilliant how Paul talks about how we are predestined, called before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. It's so brilliant. And then in Ephesians 4, he says, now as a prisoner of the Lord, therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercies, to live a life worthy of your calling. And that word worthy is where we get that idea of scales. So like the balance scales, when we have all the weight of that God has done for us in grace and love, then our lives now balance the scale up by the way in which we love each other. So he says, be completely gentle and humble, patient with each other, bearing with each other in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Philippians 2, Paul says, oh, he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. And we're like, yay! And then in Philippians 2, he says, and do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. And then in verse 5, he says, your attitude should be that of same of Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. And he became obedient, even obedient to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Dear ones, am I talking really fast or are we okay? Dear ones, the church is not a gathering of building. It's you and I. And I listened to you, I spent about 4 or 5 days with your pastor, and I heard this same phrase over and over again. This is his heart, the ecclesia, the church gathered and the church scattered. And if you find yourself going, man, I can do it my way, I can be independent, I can live God for God the way I want, tell you what, give it a few months, and you're gonna face battles you're not supposed to battle, because we don't fight alone, we fight together in prayer. And so what that means is that we rub against each other sometimes. Sometimes we don't agree with each other. Sometimes we have different ideas. Sometimes we have different thoughts of how things should be done. Sometimes someone gives us a look and it was indigestion for them, but it's a bad look for you. And you're thinking, what did I do? And the work of the church to love as he loved us, to be patient. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love is patient. I don't pray for patience. I pray for love, because love is patient. That if you are not kind to someone, well, love is kind. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. This is Jesus, and now he says, as I've loved you, I'm inviting you into a relationship of love that is going to be expressed this way. And I love this. I think we've missed this. I think it's so beautiful we've missed it. All the world will know that you're my disciples if you love each other. The greatest witnessing tool that we have as the body of Christ is the way in which we love each other. And this is hard work. This isn't like ooey, gooey, rich, and chewy. This isn't like, ooh, I just have these feelings for you. You're so beautiful. This is hard. This is hard because we can't do this without Jesus. John 15, Jesus said, "If without me, you can do nothing, but if you remain in me, you shall bear much fruit." Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithful, self-control. See, it comes back to identity and relationship. It comes back to prayer. It comes back to this idea that when I'm in love with him, it's not just he and I've got a good thing going, it's a we have a good thing going. And the church has been torpedoed time and time and time again just for this one thing. We have not loved as he loved us. I don't always agree with people in my church, and I always don't agree with me. I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I've looked at some of the stuff I've taught and went, oh, God, please. Oh. So Jesus said in Matthew 15, he says this. We're going to go to Matthew. Did I say Matthew? Okay, stop. John 15. Here's what he says. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. This idea of it'll be given to you means this. I am going to now start the process of seeing this prayer completed. Because thankfully, God doesn't always immediately answer every one of our prayers. I probably would be dead now, or other people would be, if God answered my prayer immediately. God, in his wisdom, I don't recommend the movie, I don't, but I'll just say it this way. There was a movie called Bruce Almighty. And he gets on the computer, and he goes, yes, 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 yes. Remember, God gave him his powers? And he just, yeah, and his fingers are going, and yes, and it created chaos. See? God doesn't create chaos through answer prayer. There's a lot of logistics he has to do in answering prayer. But this word actually means this. God is starting the process. He is beginning that work that you just called out for. He is now moving on your behalf to arrange things as the way they should be. Jesus uses the same thought, if you'll go back with me to Matthew. There we go, Matthew chapter 18. And I'm almost done, which in preacher talk means nothing. It's so true, isn't it? Isn't it so true? In closing, for the 74th time, just got one more close in me. Context is there's problems. There's a in Matthew 18. If there's a brother and a sister are having a fight, Jesus gives us the proper way to deal with conflict, because let's be honest, church creates conflict. Whenever there's more than one person, you're going to have conflict. Husbands, have you ever had a conflict with your wife? Oh, you cowards. You guys are cowards. Yeah, why? Yeah. And the wife goes, amen, preacher, brother. But look what Jesus says. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Matthew 18. Here's that phrase again in verse number 18. I tell you the truth. Amen, amen. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Verse 19. Again, and here is that phrase. The NIV misses it. But it's again, I tell you the truth. Here's that amen. I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. It's the exact same phrase that Jesus uses in John 15, verse 8. But Jesus says, I tell you the truth, if two on earth, two, agree about anything you ask for, it'll be done. Now, this word is an interesting one because it's the word for we get the word symphony. It's this idea that every musical part plays its part. In fact, one of the reasons why worship is so important, it's not a precursor to the preaching so that the guy doesn't, or the lady doesn't speak for an hour and a half, right? What this does, worship, when we engage, we come into agreement. with what the words are being spoken, and we declare them. Actually, the word has to declare them, to speak them out, to sing them out. So the words on the overhead, it's not just to make the song easier, it's so that we can come into agreement of what's being sung, what's being said. And your band, what if one person played in the key of G and one person played in the key of F and one person played in the key of E? It would be a train wreck. But too often in the church, this is what Jesus, through relationship, is trying to get his people to come into alignment with. Too often in the church, when we don't come into agreement, even truths that we live by can cause a train wreck in the church. You okay? I'm leaving on Tuesday. Please send all emails to Pastor Craig. Crosspointlife.org/. Okay. Now it's fascinating, this word. Agreement means this. Listen closely. Together with. Agreement means together with. Now why is that important? Let me illustrate it this way. Our son Josh married a girl from Lewiston, and she is an avid Seattle Seahawks fan. I am a 49er fan. At least we have a team. Anyways. Oh, wow. Did that hurt? I'm sorry. You guys like jilted right now? I'm sorry. My apologies. Forgive me. I am so repentant right now. So Jerrica could say, hey, Mike, Josh and I are going to buy tickets for you and Deb. In fact, they play today. Niners are going to lose. You can't say anything. They're bad. They're awful. So just say whatever you're going to say. She would say to me, for your anniversary, we're going to buy football tickets and we're going to go to Seattle and watch the Niners and Seahawks play. And Deb and I, we go, and here we are with 60,000 people. And though we are together, we're not with them. Though we're in the same place, I'm not with them, I'm with the Niners. And church is not just meeting together, it's being with. It's not we just go to one building, we're with each other. Let me describe it. How many of you this side, let's start from about right here, from Jordan over this side. How many of you guys know the song Amazing Grace? Okay, would you just, right, you can be together if you like, or okay. Would you just sing it with me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Okay, good. Let's start over here. How many of you guys know the song, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great. Could you sing with me? Is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Okay, now, I want you to sing Amazing Grace. Ready? Amazing. I want you to sing How Great Is Our God. How. Wow. 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 Two beautiful truths, but not in agreement, does not create life and harmony. It creates disaster. And musicians go, please stop, please. Two radio stations, right? See, the issue is not just truth. The issue is love. Truth is important. But God has called us to love and speak the truth in love. So what I've discovered in my history of church, it's when someone says, this is the truth and we're going to fight for it. Well, this is the truth. And they're both right. But it's not done in agreement. And Jesus said, where two agree, doesn't take 50, doesn't take 100, only takes two. Where two agree concerning anything, it shall be done by my Father. And then he says these words, and I'm done with this. I'm closing the book. It's official. He says, for where two or three come together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. This is the church gathered and the church scattered. This is where the ecclesia happens. We did not gather in the name of Cross Point Life Church. I remember when you guys were La Mesa First Assembly. Okay? It's not the name. We have not gathered in the name of the Assemblies of God. No disrespect. That's not the name in which we've gathered. We have gathered in the name of Jesus. And he said, where two or even three gather in my name, I am in your midst. So dear ones, Jesus gathered with us today because we have gathered in his name. But the cool thing is, when you and someone else go have coffee and you talk about the things of God, you're the church. Because it just takes two or three to gather in his name for the church to find its place. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he says, if you bring a gift to the altar and there remember you have something against a brother, drop your gift off, go and make it right with your brother, and then come offer your gift. He is so serious about us walking together with. In John 17, here's what Jesus' prayer. Father, let them be one as we are one. Here's why. So that the world may believe that you sent me and that I have loved them as you have loved me. What Jesus is doing, What the Father is doing right now, I believe like never before, is he's tearing down denominational barriers and he's bringing his people together in unity. And it doesn't mean we don't have diversity. It doesn't mean we don't have opinions. It doesn't mean we like different styles. It doesn't mean that at all. But that's not what church is about. It's about being together with. It's a deeper relationship. How do we do this? As I've loved you, now you love. But Father, I really don't like that person. If they would change, maybe we can connect. And the Father says, how about this? You ask me to enlarge your heart to love them as I've created them. And you'll find yourself being patient and kind and gentle and not keeping records of wrong. Not because you're trying harder, but because the fruit of abiding in relationship with Jesus is love, joy, peace. And these aren't just some things out there. This is something that God does in here as we abide in him. And this is what he says. John 15, verse 17, 18. Then my Father, you haven't chosen me, but I chose y'all. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask, but this is my command, love each other as I've loved you. In Cross Point Life Church, I've been wrestling a lot. Lord, what do I share? You guys, God is doing such a marvelous thing. But this is what the Father's doing in my heart. So this isn't a sermon. This is my life. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. You know what? We've taken that verse and we weaponized it. Woman, you got to submit to me. It's the Bible. Come on. Make me some dinner. Do what I tell you to do. You got to submit to me. And we weaponize the word. Or we hear women go, oh, I don't think so. I'm not going to submit to that man, right? And we begin to say, uh-uh. We take the very word of God and we say, no. What? Or Jesus said in John chapter 14, he says that if you obey my commandments, you love me. So we have to learn, what does this look like? Wives, submit yourselves to the husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for me. So every morning I wake up next to Jesus. Every morning there's Jesus. So every morning for the last couple years, I make her coffee. I'm not making it for Deb, I'm making it for Jesus. She gets to drink it. And I think God wants to do some healing here today. I think the Father wants to do some really wonderful healing in our lives. Maybe you've gone through a really severe divorce, and when you think of that ex-spouse, your heart just kind of clutches because you were betrayed or you were hurt. Hey, man, that's right. You got all the facts. That's true. Well, how can I love that person? You can't without receiving love. How do I receive love? If you remain in me, you can do this. Maybe you've been hurt at a church. I'm never going to get involved. I'll come. I'll give a few bucks in the offering plate, but I'm never going to open myself up again and be connected. That's really not how the church works. The church works by the way we love each other. Last story. In closing. Is it okay? Is it really? I was told 2:30. That's what I was told. So it's not mine. It's not my bad. Send all my emails to Pastor Craig at Cross Point Life. A man did a study of what took down the Roman government. Why did Rome fall? Because it was the most powerful nation in the world. And one of the most contributing factors was Christianity. And what they said over and over again, writers during that time period, as they watched Christians who would go into places and they would love the broken. Plagues would come into Rome, the Roman colonies, and while everyone else left, Christians would come in, and even to their own point of their life, they would come and they would bathe and they would serve the people who were dying of the plague. And the historical authors of that day kept repeating this phrase, look how much they loved. And dear ones, what will they say about our generation? What will historians say about this generation? My prayer for you, and the prayer for where Deb and I pastor, is that if anyone writes our history or our story, they're going to say, dang it, these people knew how to love well. And they might not have been 10,000 people. God bless you if God wants to do that, yay. But man, look how well they loved. Because the image of Jesus flows through hearts of love. And if you're having difficulty loving someone, it could be someone you work with. It could be someone in your neighborhood where they keep doing something to your house. I don't know what that is. But you find yourself when you go into a grocery store and you see that person and you go, hey, I need to go this way. Because you don't want to talk with them because you know in your heart there's a clutch there. Father wants you to be free in love. He wants you to love so much that though you might not ever have a relationship with them again, because that could be that's their decision as well. I love you. Would you stand? Is it okay, Barry, if I pray? Or what I'm teaching you right now has been a difficult 5 to 7 year process, and I'm still in process. Especially when you felt betrayed. This is not got it, Mike. No, this is I'm getting it. I'm still getting this command of Jesus to love. I fall short so many times, and that's why I come back to the Father. It's not them, it's me. Expand my heart to love. When that person cuts me off in traffic and I want to give them a one-finger wave, that's not a them issue, that's a heart issue. Well, they deserve it, right? We all do, but as he loves us, love each other. Does he ever say to us, oh man, you deserve a whooping. You really do. Michael, take care of this. Right? He loves with grace. How many this morning would just, something is resonating in your heart today. Might not be anything I said, but something's resonating in your heart of saying, oh, Father, I need you to expand my heart of love. I need to expand. Would you just join with me and go, that's me. Could you lift up the other hand to the Father? Because he's the dispenser of love. 1 John 4:18, God is love. This is nothing we strive for or work for. This is something of his nature and character that he deposits in our lives because he loves us. Father, in Jesus' name, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if, there's the clause, we love each other. 1 John 3 says, don't love with word or tongue, but in actions and in deeds. And it's, Lord, we just don't say the words, I love you. It starts there. It begins there. But Lord, we actually live out the actions of Christ through love. Lord, I pray for this, everyone here, that would be their marriage, whether it be friendships, Lord, whether it be people at work, you expand their hearts of love. And that, Lord, like never before, that this church would be known for its agreement. They're not just together, but they're with. They're not just saying, yeah, I like it, but if something negative happens, I'm out. But Father, that we're family, we're together, and we are with, and then my Father will give you whatever you ask. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, though it's evidenced by tongues, that the greatest evidence is a baptism of love. That it's a baptism that where we love, where we're not capable of doing this ourselves. And Jesus, you've never called us to live a life of love through rules and regulations. You've called us to love each other, but you said, I will empower you to love. I don't know how that all works, Lord, but I know it's real. And as we just lift our hands to you, we receive from you all good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of heavenly lights who doesn't change like shifting shadows. That, Lord, baptize this house with the greatest love they've ever known. Let it start with each other and let it just go to the neighbors. Let it go to the neighbor, the ecclesia, here and scattered. Let it be driven by the love that you have for us. As I love you, love each other. And Lord, where we find ourselves falling short, we don't walk in condemnation or guilt or shame. We also don't blame. We just hear your invitation again to expand our hearts to love in a greater way, the way that you've loved us. And Father, our last prayer for this wonderful family. You promised us four times, Jesus, four times in John, whatever you ask for in prayer, it will be given to you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let there be such a confidence in prayer because they are confidence that you're their pops and that you love them. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.